I'd like to call the November 19th, 2020 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rushing?
Here.
Commissioner Russell? Commissioner Tui?
Here.
Commissioner Burns?
Here.
Here. Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon? Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Jones? We have six present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Mr. Zenner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Thank you. Can I get a motion for the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Thank you, Ms. Burns.
Second.
Second by Mr. Tui. I'll take a thumbs up approval for the agenda. Looks unanimous. Everyone should have received a copy of the November 5th, 2020 regular meeting minutes. Were there any adjustments or edits to those minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Stanton, second by Mr. Tui. I'll take a thumbs up on approving the minutes. Looks unanimous. Our first case of the evening is a tabling request, case 08-2021. Request by Anderson Engineering on behalf of P1316 LLC. Owner for approval of a PD plan development plan to be known as Discovery Park Endeavor Center West PD plan, a four-lot commercial development that proposes a private street and involve the extension of Nakona Parkway and design adjustments from sections 21-4.6C1 and 29-5.1F3 and of the UDC relating to the entry door placement and platting of a property line through a structure, respectively. The approximately 5.98-acre site is located at the southwest corner of the intersection of Nakona Parkway and Endeavor Avenue. I request to table this request to the December 10th, 2020 Planning Commission meeting has been received. Is there any staff report on this?
I could tell you that we have been working with the applicant on a little bit additional design conversations about the streets. There's some new streets that will be dedicated with this plan, and so we're looking at having it go to the next meeting so we can kind of finish up those reviews.
All right. And that should be adequate time?
I think so, yes.
Any questions for staff? Was this publicly advertised?
It was, yes.
All right. So if there's no additional questions for staff, we will open the floor up to public comment since this was a publicly advertised case. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment period. Commissioner discussion? Ms. Burns.
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion. In the case request by Anderson Engineering on behalf of P1316 LLC, I move that we table the discussion on this until the December 10th, 2020 planning meeting.
Second. I'll give it to Mr. Stanton. Second to Mr. Stanton. So we have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Tui?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
That is 6 to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for tabling is approved. That brings us to subdivisions. Case 04-2021, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants, LLC, on behalf of Troy and Shirley Miller, the owners, for approval of a two-lot final plat of R1 one-family dwelling zone property to be known as Wellington Manor, plat number 3A. The 3.46-acre site is located at the terminus of Bradway Drive and is addressed as 14,000 and 14,005 Bradbury Drive. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. A public notice of this request was given via advance notification postcards sent on October 19th to all property owners within 200 feet of the site. 18 postcards were distributed and no comments have been received to date. This 3.5-acre site is zoned R1 and located at the terminus of Bradbury Drive. The applicant is seeking approval of a 2-lot final minor plat that would adjust the southern lot line of existing lot 40 to facilitate construction of a single-family home on lot 40A and bestow legal lot status on the unplatted remnant, which was annexed into the city in October of this year. The proposed plat shows an expansion of lot 40 by a third of an acre, which will assist with building a future structure on a lot currently impacted by topography on the northeast portion of this site. The additional acreage comes from a presently unplatted tract of land that is the remnant parent parcel of the Wellington Manor subdivision. While lot 40B is being platted for the first time, it is currently improved with a single-family structure that has and will continue to take access from Bradbury Drive. This proposed division of lot 40B and enlargement of lot 40A will not create any nonconformities with respect to R1 standards. Given the platting action does not increase the number of lots accessing the surrounding street network, there is no requirement that additional access points be installed with the development at this time. Sidewalk will be required fronting Bradbury Drive. No public utility extensions are required at this time, and no additional easements are being dedicated with this plat. For a side-by-side comparison, I have the most recent plat here on the left, Wellington Manor plat number 3, and the proposed plat on the right. On the left, the current lot 40 is in red at the top, and the unplatted remnant tract is in blue. On the right with the proposed plat, you can see the adjustment of the lot line for proposed lot 40A and then lot 40B in blue. Given that the proposed plat has been reviewed by staff and it meets all requirements of the Unified Development Code, staff is recommending approval of the final plat, Wellington Manor, plat number 3A. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? I see none. So with that, we'll open up the floor to public comment. If anyone has public comment that they would like to share in this case, please come up to the podium. I see none. Move on to commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
I'd like to entertain a motion, please, Madam Chair.
Sounds good.
It relates to case 4-2021, Wellington Manor, plat number 3A. I move to approve the requested final minor plat of Wellington Manor, plat number 3A.
Second.
Second by Mr. Toohey. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. May we have roll call, please, Ms. Carroll?
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 6 votes to approve. The motion is carried.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. This brings us to the public hearings and subdivisions for the evening. Our first case is case 203-2020, a request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of JDM 2SF National LLC for approval of a 2-lot preliminary plat to be known as State Farm Subdivision Block 2, and a design adjustment from section 29-5.1 F3 to allow a new lot line through a structure. The 102.2 85-acre subject site is located southeast of the intersection of Southampton Drive and Providence Road, State Route 163, and is addressed 4700 South Providence Road. May we have a staff report, please?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Chairman. As you stated, this is a preliminary plat for a site that is currently platted. So it would be to divide the existing one lot subdivision into two lots, and there is a design adjustment which I'll touch on here in a minute. Given the design adjustment, it was a publicly advertised case. Postcards were sent out, advertised on November 3rd, with eight letters sent to surrounding property owners. This is kind of an oblique aerial view of the site. Larger site, 100 plus acres. Providence Road on the west. You can see Rockbridge High School to the northwest of the site. Drawing the blank on the other road, Corporate Lake Drive to the south with Southampton along the north side of the property. Excuse me. The subdivision is pretty straightforward. The area you see on your screen right now is the existing single lot. They're proposing to subdivide that roughly where you're seeing the red line to create two lots. That would require a sewer extension. That's triggering the need to do a revised preliminary before they final plat the two lots themselves. The bulk of the infrastructure will remain on the eastern lot with the existing office building with most of the accessory off-street parking located there. The exception is two paved drive aisles that will cross that lot line and will be on the western lot as well. That's initiating the need to do the design adjustment for a lot line that is going through pavement. So one we've seen a few times recently. As I've said, again, we're splitting this into two lots. City sewer extensions requiring the preliminary plat revision. There'll be a little bit of an additional right-of-way dedicated for Southampton on the north and Corporate Lake, where there's just a small sliver almost of right-of-way to complete the full 66-foot right-of-way cross-section on the south there, but they're not proposing to extend any new streets, so there's no new street construction at this time. The design adjustment is for that lot line that's going to be crossing the two access aisles on the left or on the west side of the lot. Staff supports those, as we've supported these recently. The division of the lot isn't in an illogical location that's going to cause an issue with parking or access or anything along those lines. So we support the design adjustment in that case. They have submitted a concurrent final plat as well, so both of these will go to council at the same time, so they'll look at the preliminary and also the final as well. Staff's recommending approval then of the design adjustments and also approval of the proposed preliminary plat as shown. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Before we move to staff questions, I would like to ask any commissioners who has had any ex parte related to this case to please share that with the commission now so we all have the same information on behalf of the case in front of us. Seeing none, any questions for staff? Good job, Mr. Smith.
All right,
we will move on to the public comments. If anyone has any public comments that they would like to share on this case, come forward. It's a quiet group tonight, my goodness. All right, commission discussion.
Chairman. Ms. Chairman.
Yes.
In structuring your vote, if you will please take separate votes on the design adjustment and the approval of the plat, I would greatly appreciate it.
All right, duly noted. Thank you, Mr. Zenner. You got that, Mr. Stanton?
Yes, I do.
All right.
As it relates to case 203-2020, I move to approve the approval of the design adjustments to section 29-5.1, section F, part 3, to allow a lot line over a structure.
Second.
Second by Mr. Tui. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please, Ms. Carroll.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Tui?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 6 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. Oh, bring it all up.
As it relates to case 203-2020, I move to approve the approval of the proposed preliminary plat.
Second.
Second by Ms. Rushing. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Tui?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 6 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for approval on both motions will be forwarded to City Council. Thank you. That takes us to our next case under public hearing and subdivision, which is case 202-2020, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of George and Joan Feniger for approval to permanently zone 19.06 acres from County RS, single family residential, to City R1, one family dwelling, upon annexation. The subject site includes 2 parcels and is located on the west side of Lake of the Woods Road, approximately 600 feet north of Geyser Boulevard, and is addressed 2801 North Lake of the Woods Road. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you'd stated, this is a request for permanent zoning. It's associated with an annexation, but we are not reviewing the annexation tonight at this meeting. This would be for the appropriate permanent zoning for this site upon annexation by City Council. So it's about 19 acres, currently contiguous to this city along the west and south of the property. It is public hearing, so notice was posted, approximately 45 postcards sent out for early notification, plus public hearing letters to property owners as well, advertised on November 3rd. Here's kind of a very general look at the site with an oblique aerial. Lake of the Woods Road, along the eastern side of that property, is kind of the most significant street in the area. Geyser Boulevard, which is the extension of Rice Road from the west. This is a little bit of a later or a earlier aerial. That street's actually complete now. You can see it just a little south of this site. We may see it on a different aerial I have here in a second. But to the north of the site is kind of a low-density county development. To the west and south is generally single-family. There is some two-family in there as well. This is a little bit zoomed in just for a little context per discussion. You can kind of see the overall site, how it connects with the subdivisions to the south and the west, and also the church that's there just to the southeast of the site. This is the surrounding zoning exhibit. Generally, the gray is the county, but as you can see to the north, this site is zoned the same as that. It's RS. It's the county's kind of single-family zoning. Same minimum lot size as the city of 7,000 square feet, so very similar to the R1 district. As you can see, the kind of pale yellow to the south and west, again, that's all R1. Small pocket of R2 a little further south and west of the site. The larger R2 piece to the further west of that is a city park. Looking at the requested zoning for R1, the site is designated a neighborhood district, so a single family would be compliant with that. Looking at the context of the site, the surrounding land use and the zoning, very similar to the request, seems to be very compliant with that as well. The site does have access to utilities. I would note that It is technically located outside the urban service area as the boundary is drawn within Columbia Imagine. But as I stated in the report, looking at all the particulars of it with service that is directly adjacent to the site, existing capacity where the sewer line can be extended, we feel like this site can be adequately served without any type of city investment. So we are recommending that that it should be treated as within the urban service area for all intents and purposes on that side. So, with that being said, we are recommending approval of the R1, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Before we move on to questions for staff, I'd like to ask any commissioner who has had any ex parte related to this case prior to this meeting to please share that with us so all commissioners have the benefit of the same information on behalf of the case. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Ms. Burns.
I'm just curious about how it will be included in the urban service area if this is approved. Is it just redrawn then and it includes it, or is there a request, or how does that work?
No, there's no formal request. It's not a very dynamic boundary. It's fairly static. It doesn't really change. And that's something we've been talking, I think, a little bit in context of the comprehensive plan, how to evaluate that and how we want to evaluate it going forward. And we talked about this site specifically with sewer, actually, looking at some newer criteria for how we determine where that urban service area is. And they determined this would be within a boundary that would meet some of the new parameters that we may propose. And I don't want to get ahead of myself there, but.
Well, and I think this was part of the discussion, so I could just elaborate on what Mr. Smith's touched on. This is part of a discussion that is within the status report update that we were unable to reach this evening during our work session. So the criteria really that our sewer utility has offered us to present within the status report is one that where sewer is immediately adjacent to a parcel, that city sewer, the boundary of that property, all things being considered equal, would be considered as lying within a revised boundary area. And the plan further, the status report further goes to suggest that there may need to be a more dynamic process established moving forward for adjustments to the urban service area, either through more routine amendment or an automatic type of updating of the urban service boundary. Because as parcels are individually developed, obviously sewer is going to have to be brought through this entire tract of land. The property then immediately to the north of it would then logically be considered inside the urban service boundary because it could be served by city sewer without capital investment, which is the typical process. So that would be more consistent as well with the idea of annexation being compact and contiguous, and would further facilitate those general objectives that we point out within the comprehensive plan itself, that that's how growth is supposed to occur, not necessarily how it has in the past, where we leap over a large section of city property or county property to go grab an individual parcel of property in the county and then possibly offer capital dollars to extend sewer. The map that is within the status report, which we'll discuss at our December 10th meeting as a public input and comment session prior to forwarding to City Council, has the proposed new boundary map and poses several questions that we will likely need to discuss as part of that public input hearing that we will have on the December 10th agenda.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Mr. Smith?
I apologize. I did want to relay. I did have two conversations with nearby residents on this. I think one wound up in the report, resident to the south, and we'll kind of goes into the preliminary plat as well, and I'll talk about that a little bit as well. But and then another conversation with a resident to the north. And most of those related a little more to the layout, so I'll save kind of the specifics for the next case.
We're in suspense. Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open the floor to public comment. If anyone has any public comments they would like to share on this case? We are going to hold fast. All right. We will close public comment. Commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
There's no comments from my colleagues. I'd like to entertain a motion. As it relates to case 202-2020, I recommend approval of R1 permanent zoning.
Second.
Second by Mr. Toohey. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, Ms. Carroll, may we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 6 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for R1 permanent zoning will be forwarded to City Council. That brings us to our final case for the evening, case 196-2020, a request by Crockett Engineering Consultants on behalf of George and Joan Feniger for approval of a 51-lot preliminary plat on R1 zoned land pending annexation to be known as Mallard Point Preliminary Plat. The subject site includes 2 parcels and is located on the west side of Lake of the Woods Road, approximately 600 feet north of Geyser Boulevard, and includes property addressed as 2801 North Lake of the Woods Road. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Chairman. So this is the same piece of property. So the second request relates to the preliminary division of the site into basically residential lots. Apologies, I think it's 52 now, so that's my fault. 48 single-family lots, 4 common lots on the site. As a preliminary plat, this received early notification postcards. Did receive 2 phone calls regarding this case, one from a resident to the south. Their preference would be that the preliminary plat was designed so that it did connect with Lake of the Woods. A phone call with a gentleman who lived along Singh Drive to the north, mostly just informational, no specific support or opposition to the case. Again, that's our 19-acre site there. Connections, which we'll see a little bit clearer here to the west and the south where the existing street stubs are. So this is our site. Again, 48 residential lots, 4 common lots, 2 of those being stormwater, more or less related, 2 of those being cul-de-sac related. Generally, the Lentz Drive from the south is going to be extended into the site. It's going to intersect with the extension of Sandrock Drive from the west. You see there's a new stub street going to the north and a cul-de-sac on the northeast corner where it is in close proximity to Lake of the Woods Road. A couple things I did want to point out. One of those things being the access to the lake. The site does have a lake on there, and I want to point out that they did leave some of the common area accessible for the general public. Sometimes we see these, and they're generally ring by lot, so it doesn't have that focal point for the community. And I wanted to point out that I think this is a good example of having that kind of amenity there that really helps build communities, that they have something that they can kind of focus around. So it's a small thing, but I wanted to point that out. Again, the 2 existing street stubs that are extending into the site, Sandrock and Lentz. The new street stub to the north, and I touched on this a little bit in the report, it is developed to a sense, but it was developed in the county under some previous regulations where they could go greater than 5 acres, and they weren't subject to the county subdivision regs. So we did have some conversations with the county, and they supported the idea of having a stub to that, even though there are some existing tracks. They're not technically lots, they're tracks, in case there is redevelopment in the future. Given the size of these and now the proximity to the city boundary, it kind of makes sense to prepare the site for that inevitability, but the likelihood that happens, whether it's 10 years, 20 years down the road, that access point's going to be important to actually be able to re-subdivide some of those properties. So the design here, I'm talking with the applicant, is for a cul-de-sac instead of a connection to the Lake of the Woods. That was source of a little bit of conversation. Looking at that, did not appear that there's any strict requirement for them to extend to Lake of the Woods, even though there could be some benefits there. So the design they have there, we consider that to be compliant. We could talk a little bit about, I think, the idea of street connectivity. I have a little bit of shots here, just kind of give an idea of what we went through or what we looked at. I'll go through real quick, but basically the blue is the arterial layout, looking at about every mile. This doesn't lay out exactly like it does in a perfect world, so it's actually a little bit less of a mile in our upper blue squared box. The greens would be the collectors, and our red is our site there. So we'd be looking for, you know, 2 to 3 connections in between those collectors. And with Geyser on the far south there, and I didn't highlight that, I apologize. The connections to the east, to the Lake of the Woods, you're expecting maybe 2 to 3 in that span of space, and we have 2, and if there was going to be a third one, it may be better to have it further to the north of the site. So it's a long way of saying that there's some subjectivity in where that additional access point would be, and we think the design right now is probably compliant with the UDC standards. So with that being said, I'm happy to answer any questions, but we are recommending approval of the Mallard Point preliminary plat.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Before we move to questions of staff, I'd like to ask any commissioners who has had any ex parte related to this case to please disclose that now so we have the benefit of the same information on behalf of the case in front of us. Still no ex parte. All right. Questions for staff? Still no questions for staff. We're on a roll tonight. Public comment. I'm going to guess still no public comment. All right. We will close the public comment session. Commission discussion. Mr. Stanton.
My colleagues do not have any further discussion. I have to entertain a motion, Madam Chair.
Please.
As it relates to case 196-2020, I move approval of the Mallard Point preliminary plat.
Second.
Second by Mr. Toohey. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on that motion? I see none. May we have roll call, please, Ms. Carroll.
Commissioner Rushing?
Yes.
Commissioner Toohey?
Yes.
Commissioner Burns?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
We have 6 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That concludes our case agenda for the evening. This is last chance for public comments. Staff comments.
Hey, that was such a sigh. Boy, I don't know how to take that. Your next meeting will be December 10th. You can applaud for not having any meetings after that. However, before we will allow you to take your Christmas hiatus until January 7th, which will be your next meeting, we are going to have to get through, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of casework, 13 to be exact. So let me, since my Vanna White has left, switch over to the computer. As I said, you have a December 10th meeting. Those cases are as follows. You have a special item, often not used on our agendas, but we have an indication that we need to have one, and that is the Columbia Imagine Status Report. This will be a public comment session, similar to what we have done previously. However, it will also require a vote of the commission at the end of that public comment. To move the report forward to City Council so they may have it at their second meeting in January, which would be the January 19th meeting. You have one subdivision, and that is Waco North. It is a preliminary plat. This is, in essence, the extension of Waco Road further to the west towards our softball complex. Providing access to the second phase of what will be Tuscany Ridge, as well as property further to the north. There are two subdivision public hearing items, and the public hearing component of that, of course, is due to design adjustments. We have one off of Water School Road, which is just to the east of the entrance to Copperstone. And then we have one for 119 South 7th Street. That is the My Backyard property, a new final plat and a design adjustment associated with that. And now starts our public hearings. So Northridge Drive, which was a tabled item from our November 5th meeting, that is rezoning R1 to a PD with PD plan. Endeavor Center West, which is the project that we tabled this evening down at Discovery Park. Then we will have a major plan amendment off of East Green Meadows. This is just to the northeast of the traffic circle. This is for a major plan amendment to allow for a mixed-use modification to the property to allow for a mixed-use structure to be built and generally a new layout of structures on the property from the previously approved plan. Then we have another project out at Discovery Park. It's a Discovery Business Park. It is a PD plan as well. It is connected basically with the Endeavor project. We have a conditional use permit to allow hair salon and other personal services to be allowed at 1809 Vandiver. A rezoning request at 1106 College Avenue, RMF to MOF, to allow for a redevelopment of that parcel with offices. And then two more projects associated with Discovery Park, Aria Boulevard Phase 2. This is directly across the street from the existing Aria apartments down at Discovery Park. Four total buildings proposed that will flank either side of Nakona Parkway. And then Discovery Professional Offices, which is immediately adjacent to the hotel site, which we had previously seen as a hospital location, but is being now presented as a four-story office building. And the final item, which is a has five items within it, are our final set of corrective rezonings for C2, and that will include Columbia College properties off of Rangeline and North 10th, the Mule Barn off of Fay Street, and then 715 North 8th Street, which is the Wardrobe building, which is owned by the City of Columbia. So we all know where we're talking about. The Waco North, as I said, it doesn't show up well on the map. However, this is basically immediately to the east of this is the school, the elementary school, and then the Arbor Point subdivision. The Water School property, this is a existing single-family home that's actually being carved, will be being platted for the first time. Onto its own lot as part of the owners of Cherry Hill Dental. This is their property immediately to the south. Our My Backyard property along with my house, the final plat that's being proposed to divide the rear parcel to create an extra lot out of it. The cottages of Northridge, which is our tabled item for Endeavor Center West, major PD amendment for the property there that's immediately to the east of the roundabout off of Green Meadows, Discovery Park or Discovery Business Park, which is to the west of Endeavor, then your Vandiver Drive property, our College Avenue property, which is just across from where the CC Community Land Trust property is, the Ag Trust property is. And then our other projects here at Discovery. And finally, we end up with the corrective rezonings, the first being a parking lot just north of 710 Rangeline on Columbia College's campus, the Fay Street property rezoning, which is commonly known as the Mule Barn, with an HP overlay. And just to make sure that we're not going to have a bunch of upset people, we are not proposing to eliminate the HP overlay. We are taking the C2. And proposing to have it rezoned to MN with an HP overlay on it. And we'll talk about that in greater depth during the report. The 310 North 10th Street, which is just a portion of a parking lot that's zoned C2, that's being proposed for IG, which is consistent with the surrounding zoning. 316 North 10th, which is an existing single-family structure that is a landholding property for Columbia College and is a rental unit at this point, as I understand it, for residential purposes, as well as our final property, which is the Wardrobe Building that is owned by the city. So those are your 13 projects for December. I will not be feeding you any high caloric intake foods. We would like to keep you awake for the meeting. Unless you would like me to otherwise feed you pasta or something else, I'll be more than happy to arrange that. But it will be your last meeting for the year. So just keep that in mind as you curse me as we move through the process. And what I can tell you is at this point, I only have received three or four items for your first meeting in January. But I got a lot of time left before the agenda deadlines end. So it's good to have work because that means the economy is still strong in light of where we are right now with our pandemic. It keeps you guys nimble. So we appreciate your attention. We appreciate your time this evening, your contributions with the status report update. And as Ms. Bacon had pointed out this evening, if you do have editing comments, please forward them to her via email. And so the public is also aware we will have a final public comment draft posted to the website by the 25th of this month, which will be next Wednesday. In preparation for the December 10th meeting. We will have it out in advance so it can be available and read, and it would be available from our webpage of the city's website. So if you have any further questions in regards to the status report and any of the content within it, please either reach out to Ms. Bacon or myself, and we will attempt to answer questions that you have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Zenner. Commissioner comments? Mr. Stanton.
Voting matters. We had a very good turnout over, 140 some odd million people voted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So civic engagement works, and I encourage people to make politics local and stay focused on stuff that happens in your neighborhood.
Including responding on the update.
Oh, the consolidated plan.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
Understanding the playbook of the city's next 20-year plan. That's right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the survey is open for one more day.
One more day to make your voice heard. Any additional comments, Mr. Stanton?
I think I'm done.
Any motions?
I move to adjourn.
Thank you. Mr. Toohey?
Second.
Second by Mr. Toohey. We are adjourned.